We will go to agenda item number one, which is report and possible discussion on audited financial statements from Padgett Stratman and Company. John Hawes, would you introduce our guest, please?
I will. I will introduce Mike O'Brien, who I think you all know is our auditor for the Press River Authority, as well as our retirement plan. Mike has completed their audit of the retirement plan, and he is here to present his report. So I will turn it over to Mike.
Thank you, John. I see that you guys have copies of the reports. They're also up here on the screen, so we'll work from there. Where do I point it at? You or up there?
We have to punch it twice. I don't know if it's going to...
All right, well...
To make it large enough, or I can make it smaller, whichever you prefer.
Make it a little smaller. Not that I'm going to make anybody read it, but I'm going to tell you what's on there. I'm sure everybody's read all of it, but I'm going to give you an overview. There's two reports we issue. One is a letter on conduct of audit because there's information that auditors are required to communicate about the audit process, and then there's the financial statements. So first, let me just tell you about, the audit process. That's what's in the letter on conduct of audit. You can see there's a whole laundry list of things. But basically, as you know, we were engaged by the River Authority to audit the financial statements of the retirement plan. We completed that audit. We've issued an unqualified or clean opinion on the financial statements. So that's our responsibility. Management's responsibility is to prepare the financial statements and do the accounting and review the financial statements to make sure they're in agreement, that they're fairly presented and correct. So that's all done. Do I scroll down somehow, or do you?
I can scroll down for you.
Okay. Right there at the bottom of the page, in financial statements, there's a lot of accounting policies and there's lots of standards that have to be followed. These financial statements follow governmental accounting principles. So for those of you that work in the private sector, things look a little different in the government, but we're following governmental accounting standards. And I'm required to let you know if there's any changes. And there's not any changes in accounting standards in fiscal year 2014. All the accounting being followed is, in our opinion, appropriate and within industry standard. Now, just to let you know, next year there will be changes. That's in fiscal year 2015 for both the plan and the authority. That's when all the new pension accounting standards are required to be adopted. So that's when the fun will take place. I've got a few slides on that at the end if you're interested in more information about what that entails. In financial statements, not everything is a fixed transaction, particularly in investment plans. There are estimates, particularly in the investment area. Fair values, are estimates technically. In the case of this plan, since most of your investments are in pooled funds, it's pretty standard. There's no variation there. There's not a lot of risk. That is an estimate, and that is obviously the most significant thing in the financial statements and in the disclosures. This year, of course, you did have one new fund, the Tactical Opportunities Fund, which is a fixed income type of a fund. That one will present a little bit of, not difficulty, but change, at least for the staff going forward. That fund actually has an audit, but it's on the calendar year. So the plan reports on February 28th year. The fair value could change between those time periods. I've talked to John about it and recommended he kind of review that valuation when it comes audit time to see if anything significant has changed since their audit to the time this report is done. So that'll be different than all the other investments. There weren't any, from an audit process standpoint, everything went smooth, no difficulties, no disputes, no disagreements, no audit adjustments, no past audit adjustments, and we did receive full and complete cooperation during the course of the audit. Now, do you go to the next document or right?
You can.
So that's the overall comments, and then we'll just take a look at the financial statements. There's lots of pages in the financial statements here. I'm just going to, again, highlight a few, but if I skip something that you had a question about, let me know. So as I mentioned, the staff prepares the financial statements, drafts the footnotes, does the accounting. We're in a pure audit capacity, so that gives us kind of the highest level of independence, which is what is kind of optimum. This is our auditor's report. It says that we were engaged to do the audit, that management's responsible for the preparation and fair presentation. We're responsible for the audit. We've completed all of that. It takes a page and a half to say, in our opinion, financial statements are fairly presented in conformity with generally accepted accounting principles. Now, the last paragraph, there is information that's required by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board. It's the management discussion analysis and the actuarial schedules at the back, which I'll show you. Those aren't audited because I'm not an actuary, but they are required. There is required information. I review them to make sure there's nothing inconsistent with the financial statements, and just to let you know that that's in there. We have reviewed it. Don't have any concerns, and it meets all the required disclosures and formats. Now, that one's kind of small to see, but it's on page 3 in the management discussion and analysis in your financial statement booklet, which is, it's kind of white and gray. It's this one that says financial statements on the front. But this is a good trend to see over a 3-year period. The way I look at it is all of your metrics are increasing. Total plan net position has gone from 19.8 million 2 years ago to 21.7 million. Net investment income, as you can see, over 3 years has steadily increased, kind of along with the market and, you know, your investment strategies. Employer contributions are going up. I know that's something that the committee's focused on for a few years. Likewise, though, benefits paid to participants, which is cash outflow, continues to increase, which, as you expect, as more folks retire, benefit payments are going up. So this is a summary in the management discussion and analysis. I just point that out because it's a good place to kind of see the overall trends. There's lots of other information that management has put together in the discussion and analysis for readers to get more information about changes and activities. The actual statements themselves are on pages 7 and 8. This is what's called a statement of plan net position, which in the business world you'd call a balance sheet. But you can see the new investment. We segregated that in a separate line, the fixed income tactical opportunities fund, because it's really not considered a mutual fund. So we broke that out for clarity purposes. So these numbers, these totals, all tie back to that management discussion and analysis. And then the next statement shows you all the pluses and minuses, all the income and the outflow to get to the net position. There's lots of footnote disclosures that are required. Those are all, you know, fine and have the required information. Just to show you, there's a whole lot in Note C on investments. It goes over the investment policy, goes over the actual breakdown of the investments, which you saw the totals up on the statement of net position. Here you can see the breakdown of the portfolio and the fair value and the cost as of February 28th. And by and large, everything has fair value greater than cost, except for the fixed income mutual funds, which has a little bit of an unrealized loss, but everything else has fair value greater than cost. There's a wealth of information in here if you ever want to know about the investment policies and risks. There's all kind of information there. So the required supplementary information, I know the committee's had questions on that in the past. This is required to be included in pension plan financial statements. As you can see, it's largely actuarial. So that's prepared by your actuary. It's intended to give you trend information over time. And if you remember back in 2013, the committee approved the change in the discount rate to 6.5% from 7.5%. So that caused the underfunded actuarial accrued liability to go up that year. But you can see with the results for this year, that's gone back down to $7.3 million. So you're about 74% funded ratio at the end of fiscal year 2014. So I'm going to stop there to see if there's questions on the financial statements and to see if you want more information about the changes that are going to be made next year. If there's no questions.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned custodial risk. Is that Wells Fargo, the bank name? So our investments are held in Wells Fargo's name, not in the plan name. Is that the custodial risk and the bank itself?
Right.
Okay. So what do we have then? If that investment is, you're saying it's a street mutual fund, what do we have from Wells Fargo? Just a statement that they own that fund and that they allocate it to us?
That's right. Most John has.
Yes, and I can, Barry Gunnels is sitting right here with Wells Fargo, and Barry could probably.
So the assets are actually held in Wells Fargo for the benefit of the River Authority.
So they are nominated in,
right.
in on your records?
Right.
Okay. As our asset.
Right, correct.
That's good.
So with respect to the plan, GASB Statement 67, which you've been hearing a lot about for a few years, we'll adopt next year. There really won't be any changes to the balance sheet or the income statement. Mainly it's footnote disclosure information for the pension plan. So those sorts of things that are going to be added, everything that's disclosed now in the footnotes will still be there. There's some things being added on top, such as there'll have to be a description of the number of trustees and the source of selection of trustees that administer the plan. That currently isn't required. More disclosure, there isn't any disclosure now about the return on plan investment. So there's a specified calculation that's called a money-weighted return on plan investments, net of expenses. That'll have to be added to the financial statements. So that will either have to be calculated by staff or the actuary. And then the whole issue of the net pension liability has to be added as disclosures in the footnotes. You know, right now there's just actuarial information. So this section is where you'll kind of blend the River Authority, who will have a pension liability on its balance sheet, and that's going to be calculated under GASB Statement 68. And that's a whole another topic because you've got this plan and you've got TCDRS, which TCDRS does all those calculations for, I don't forget how many hundred participating entities, so they're going to have to do actuarial calculations on all their members.
Yep.
And so they're going to have audits done of that so I can rely on them, because they don't want hundreds of auditors like me coming over there wanting to audit their books. But anyway, so you'll take, that's the total pension liability. And there's some standardization going on in the industry. You know, certain actuarial assumptions are followed by actuaries. Well, GASB 68 says you can only use, I think it's called entry age normal, I forget, but one actuarial assumption. So you can, there'll be more comparability between governmental plans, theoretically. So the actuary will calculate the total pension liability of the River Authority. Then you'll take the plan's net position, which is what's reported here, and this is a disclosure. You'll say, okay, the pension, the authority owes a certain amount, the plan has X number of assets, the difference is Y. We'll disclose that as, you know, the overall kind of net position of the liabilities and assets on an overall basis, then that gets disclosed in the footnotes. Now, so in the old days, in the actuarial world, there's lots of fair value smoothing. 5 or 10 years, usually, you know, assets go up and down, but they smooth that over time. In the new accounting world, fair value is marked to market at the balance sheet date. So a fear is there'll be a lot more volatility in that pension liability. Now, that only doesn't impact the plan as much as it impacts the River Authority, because there'll be an asset and a liability on the River Authority's balance sheet that could go up and down, and the stock market really tanks. It could go way up, if it, you know, could get way down if the stock market.
What's the interest rate that's used to calculate the liability? Right. It's still the 6.5%, right?
There's some new limitations on that. The actuary will have to look at actual investment returns and give some information. You'll have to make an assumption, but they'll also look at actual returns and report in that information about how close.
But it's not. It doesn't go to the profit entity where you have the BAA corporate rate or whatever it is, which is tends to be much lower than the assumption.
Yeah, it's not that. It's not that low. No.
I'm really thinking more for all of the other entities in the world. I mean, like the city of Chicago, for example. I think they have a 9.5% assumption or something like that. So it could be a rude awakening for some people.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of.
It's going to be a lot of heartache.
There have been some. I know one public official said, he's a CPA. He said, I'm not going to approve putting it on the balance sheet, like he, you know, had authority to do that.
Yeah, it's like that was his call.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
It is. So
you have to tell the truth. Imagine that.
Well, it's been a real problem for everybody because our returns have been so low over the last 5 years that this has become a bigger factor.
So that's disclosure in these footnotes. And also, a few other items. There'll be a lot more information about the discount rate. You know, right now we disclose what it is, but there's going to be some requirements to disclose changes in discount rates, the cash flow assumptions used in developing that present value, like how did you assume benefit payments would change and that sorts of thing.
To be clear then, Mike, it's just going to be a footnote in the plans, but it's going to be a direct liability in our institution's main financial statement.
That's right. It's, you know, for us accountants, this is where it really gets fun, because it's not really under the new definitions, it's not really a liability, it's a deferred outflow. So we learned that assets minus liabilities equal equity. Well, not anymore. It's assets plus deferred inflows minus liabilities minus deferred outflows equals. So they've created these quasi asset and liability to stick get these numbers in the balance sheet.
The CPA exam never changes the questions, just the answers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And so in the large macro sense, you know, years ago this was disclosure in the actuarial information, really wasn't in the financials. And then it came into this supplementary information, which is outside of the footnotes. Now we have it in the supplementary information and some in the footnotes. So it's kind of just made its way all the way through to the top level.
Back to the beginning of the report.
So there'll be a whole lot more information about the discount rate. And they'll also make you disclose, what if my discount rate went up 1% or down 1%? How much impact would that have? So for the reader to assess, if they don't believe that 9.5%, what would it impact? I think in the supplementary information, it's going to go to a 10-year schedule, and they're going to reformat a little bit to show this pension liability.
And the purpose of that is to get everybody on the same page for that liability.
Yeah,
consistent. It's got to be consistent.
Right. That's the purpose. And then give you a little more time or longer time horizon to see the information and the changes so the participants can assess, you know, how the plan's doing. So next year when you adopt it, we'll really only have 1 year. I doubt you're going to, TCDRS is going to, well, I doubt that you may or may not want to hire your plan actuary to go back and recalculate that going backwards. You're not required to go back. You're required to start building that up going forward. That's the summary. Any other questions?
Questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate everything you do for us on this audit and the other. Be interesting.
Well, it's going to just last comment. We'll require some significant coordination, mainly from the River Authority standpoint, for staff, for us, and particularly for TCDRS, because they're administering 300 or 400 plans. They're going to have to do calculations. They're going to have to get an audit. And they haven't been quite as I'm not sure where they stand in the process. The municipal retirement system for cities has already got a whole lot of information out to auditors, and they've already hired KPMG to do their audit and audit their procedures to do these calculations. So we need that same sort of thing from TCDRS, or else it's going to be really difficult for us to comply.
They're doing a real good job of keeping me informed as far as they're having webinars every month on where the progress is
good. And
steps are taken. So they're making me feel assured that, you know, whatever I'm going to need, it's going to be there. So
good.
Well, if there's some extra work there, Bob, just shift it off to John there. So
okay.
He can handle it. He's there. He's there for you.
Thank you, John.
All right.
Thank you very much. We'll go to our